Good morning. I would like to say that maybe folks knew I was speaking this morning, and that's why there's almost nobody here, but our youth and several adults are down at just south of Warsaw in Edwards, Missouri at youth camp. Please keep them in your prayers as they are headed back home this afternoon, or maybe on their way now, that they have safe travels and that they've all been uplifted and encouraged. Oh, what else do I have here? Some of my advertisements, as Jeff would say. Remind you of our fellowship lunch this morning after worship. Just please stay and enjoy some good food, some great fellowship as well, conversation with others. Also coming up here on the 6th of August is our yearly congregational meeting. This we will reaffirm or confirm officers for the congregation and any changes that may be necessary at that time as well. Also remind you of our men's meeting coming up here a week from today. I'm not going to go this or next, but a week from today. The men's meeting at 4 o'clock. So please, men, do attend as we discuss the business of the congregation here. This morning, to say I am not nervous would be a fib, but I'm going to be all right. You'll understand here in just a moment. My lesson this morning is twofold. One, informational, but first and foremost, I hope that you find it spiritually uplifting and encouraging. This morning, we're going to be talking about kind of a touchy subject, but we're going to talk about giving. So what are you doing with the money, with the funds, with the blessings that God has blessed you with? I want you to think about that question throughout the course of this morning. As I said, I do have a lot of stuff, and I better look over here to make sure my start time and end time and all that, so we don't go 75 minutes. We're not going to go that long. In 2015, Americans gave $373 billion in charitable gifts and contributions. And that's per NP Trust. The largest source of charitable giving came from individuals, each of us, at $268 billion, or 71% of that $363 billion. That was followed by foundations that gave $57 billion, or 16%, bequests at $29 billion, which is 9%, and corporations at $18.5 billion, 5%. That is a lot of money for charitable giving. As you can see, there's different types of people that give. In Christianity, we also have different types of givers as well. First type, we have those that give rarely. Why is that? Greed, covetousness, that's my money, nobody else's, that's mine to spend on whatever. Maybe it's those that hurt themselves by stinginess. Proverbs 14:21, he who despises his neighbor sins, but happy is he who is gracious to the poor. Also in Proverbs 19:17, one who is gracious to a poor man lends to the Lord, and he will repay him for his good deed. Another group are those who give begrudgingly, only out of a sense of obligation and duty. And I wrote a note on the wrong place about that. You can tell I've got a few pages of stuff here. Where did it go? There it is. So we have those that give begrudgingly, only out of a sense of obligation or duty. As a Christian, it's not an obligation or duty. It's out of your heart. Not a drop-down checklist. Oh, checked off. I gave my money this morning. Partake of the Lord's Supper. We said a prayer. Sang some songs. This is a continual thing. If done begrudgingly, it matters not how much you give. It doesn't matter. 2 Corinthians chapter 9, verse 7. Each one must do just as he is purposed in his heart, not grudgingly or under compulsion, for God loves a cheerful giver, as Mark read earlier. Then we have those who give graciously. turn to 2 Corinthians chapter 8. 2 Corinthians chapter 8, and we're going to read the first five verses here. It says, "Now, brethren, we wish to make known to you the grace of God, which has been given in the churches of Macedonia, that in a great ordeal of affliction, their abundance of joy and their deep poverty overflowed in the wealth of their liberality. For I testify that according to their liberality, according to their ability and beyond their ability, they gave of their own accord, begging us with much urging for the favor of participation in the support of the saints. And this, not as we had expected, but they first gave themselves to the Lord and to us by the will of God." So we see here we have those that gave graciously. The first three verses talk about sacrificially. Verse 2 talks about those that gave joyfully. And verse 3, those that gave freely. Verse 4 talks about those that gave persistently. And in verse 5, we talked about who first give themselves to the Lord. In 2015, the majority of charitable dollars went to religion, 32%. Education was 15%. Human services, 12%. Grant-making foundations, 11%. And health, 8%. As you see, the budget for this congregation, and here's where some of this informational stuff comes to you. Budget for the congregation is set at $2,492.71. The board over here reflects the $2,248. And the first figure I gave you, the $2,492, that includes the money we get for the tower. So that comes monthly. Or $264.50 a week. So you can add that to the figure that's here on the board, and that's where we get that $2,400, almost $2,500. The current average right now is $2,091 a week. That's since our budget year starts the 1st of September, I do believe is right, and goes through August. It's down approximately $400 a week. Year to date, we are down $20,800. Now, you might say we've had some families move away in that. That contributes to only about $200 a week. Now, a lot of these figures I've gotten from Ed, and I thank him for that. Wherever Ed went to, in the back there. I thank Ed for that. And I know Laura keeps up with the budget stuff as well. If you get a budget statement that's usually out in the foyer, on the foyer table, you'll notice there's three amounts on there. And the first amount on the front page is our checking account balance. As of Friday, that balance was $22,752. On the back side of that, we have the roof fund, which is $29,672. And I'll come back to that fund here in a little bit. And in a savings account, we have $19,500. If we were still paying the salary of the preacher, that would be down to about $14,000 because of being under budget. Now to the roof fund. The building roof that we have right now is at its life expectancy. Fortunately, praise God, we've had some mild winters the last couple of years, and so the roof has not had that wear and tear that it normally would. The projected cost to replace this roof is $75,000 or more. If we were to replace the roof and not take out a loan to help cover the additional costs, we would deplete all three accounts. So this can happen at any moment. Fortunately, it has not happened. Now, since May, we have not paid a preacher salary, as Jeff and Ida had departed as of the end of April. And that there is $2,100 every 2 weeks that we were paying a preacher. And so far, that's about a total of about $8,200. Even though we're not paying that out, we are still under budget. In May, and if you're wondering where that preacher salary is going to, in May, the men decided to any money over the budget, 75% of that would go to the roof fund and 25%
to the loan reduction on the building?
Well, we haven't made budget, technically. In 1997, the construction portion of the building loan, we closed that and began paying on the note at that time, and we didn't have that balance at right away for that. But in 2004, we had a balance of about $364,000. Currently, in 2017, right now, we're at a balance of about $125,000. We're paying that down. Our current payment is just over $1,500, about $1,558 a month. And we also put with that a loan reduction payment of $1,058 a month that goes directly towards the principal. And each note is put on a 3-year balloon. The last one we renewed in October, I believe, of this last year, of 2016. The next one would be due in 2019. So let's consider something else here. When Jeff came here, we had in our savings account of about $60,000. And we knew at that time that we really couldn't, with the budget, that money we were getting, we couldn't afford to pay the salary. And so we were taking from that savings account. After Jeff was here for a year, we depleted that account down to somewhere between $3,000 and $5,000 left in the bank account. Fortunately, our numbers, fiscal numbers, increased. But I think our hearts changed a little bit, and we started contributing as we should. That helped bring some of those accounts up. And so we weren't taking from things, but we were giving back to God. You see, even though we're not paying a pulpit minister, and this morning you're probably saying, well, John, I'm glad we're not paying you. No, just kidding. Yeah, there you are, still awake. Good. Okay. We still have an obligation to give to God. We're told, give back as you've been prospered. We've all been blessed. So richly blessed if you look at it. Okay? All that you've been blessed with, that paycheck that you go to work and work hard for every day, and then that check that you get every 2 weeks or monthly, however you get paid, that's not yours. That's God's. Let me tell you a story. Herman tells stories. I'm going to tell a story. Back in probably somewhere about 1998, I was a private in the Army, Fort Hood, Texas. Standing tall for an inspection. Sergeant Major. Those in the Air Force, that's Chief Master Sergeant. Sergeant Major come through doing the inspection. Of course, we've got boots polished, T-shirts rolled 6 inches long, underwear rolled up just right, uniforms hanging in the closet a certain way, all the buttons buttoned, you know, everything's pristine. I get asked, now of course, now this is after I've been through basic training, my AIT, so uniforms are getting a little worn, a little faded. Sergeant Major asked me, Private, how much do you get for a clothing allowance? Rattled right off. $169 every year, Sergeant Major. Shook his head. How much is your monthly check? I don't remember that figure. Wasn't too much. About $800-$900, something like that. And I told him the amount, and he said, that's your clothing allowance. So using that, all that money that you make, how much of that is God's? Every single bit of it. But now, I'm not saying we need to give all that back to God. You need to look at your heart. You need to do a self-inspection. How much of that can I give to God? Should I be giving to God? That is entirely up to you, as Herman alluded to earlier in the reading there in 2 Corinthians. Continuing on with my outline here, there's different ways to give. Giving is not limited to money. As I know, some are retired. Some don't get a whole lot of money. But some do have time. And they give of that time. They give a lot of that time. God may empower us to give in other ways, as 1 Peter 4:10 through 11 says. Our talents to teach or serve. Our time can be a great gift. How however you use it to glorify God, it can be a great gift. Whatever our abilities and opportunities, and we've talked about abilities before too. You may not know exactly what ability you have or what God has blessed you with to serve His church, His kingdom with. Until you just get out there and do something. Try something. And see if that works for you. See if you get better at it. We are stewards of the manifold grace of God, and we should minister our gifts to one another. We should do so with the ability God supplies. And of course, as I said, some of those abilities are unfound yet. So however you give, let it truly reflect God's grace in you. Number two, planned giving leads to cheerful giving. Purposeful giving is key to giving cheerfully. 2 Corinthians 9:7. One is less likely to give grudgingly or of necessity if you plan to give. Because they've already set aside what they want to give, they're not caught off guard when someone asks them to give. This is how Paul instructed the Corinthians in their giving, to lay by in store on the first day of the week, 1 Corinthians 16, 1-4. An early Christian, I won't go there, I'm not going to read that one, suggestions for giving, maybe? Plan your giving to help the needy. We saw where Paul instructed planned giving to produce cheerful giving. As you prosper, set so much aside for individual benevolence. Maybe even start a separate account into which you put aside a certain amount each pay period. Or send that amount to some charitable organization. I know we have some members here that give secretly to some of the missionaries that we support as a congregation. They support individually as well. And that's above and beyond what they may give or what they gave here this morning. Plan to use your talents and time. Don't wait till someone asks you for help on the spur of the moment. Look at your schedule. Budget your time to offer your abilities, such as teaching. Such as helping somebody move, mowing their lawn, whatever it might be. Give to be seen of God, not of man. Matthew 6:1-4. Let's turn there real quick. Matthew 6. Six 1-4. Beware of practicing your righteousness before men to be noticed by them. Otherwise, you have no reward with your Father who is in heaven. So when you give to the poor, do not sound a trumpet before you, as the hypocrites do in the synagogues and in the streets, so that they may be honored by men. Truly I say to you, they have their reward in full. But when you give to the poor, do not let your left hand know what your right hand is doing, so that your giving will be in secret, and your Father who sees what is done in secret will reward you. I don't want to know how much you're given. Don't take this the wrong way, but I don't care what you're given. That's between you and God. That's between your heart, you, and God. You search your heart. God will reward you for what you've given, for what you give. If it's with a cheerful heart, not begrudgingly. You can also give through planned, frequent giving. It soon becomes a second nature to which we give little thought. It's much easier and more blessed to give when you plan to give. So in conclusion, see, I told you I wouldn't go 75 minutes. Giving can be an expression of true spirituality. As we saw in 2 Corinthians 8, in the case of the Macedonians, and also has seen Jesus Himself. He gave Himself. God has even given. John 3:16. For God so loved the world that He gave His only begotten Son. Why did He do that? Because He loved us. So where's our act of giving come from? It should come from love. The love for God first. Matthew 22:37. And I had that laid out here somewhere. Matthew 22:37-38.
And many of you could say this, recite it already. And he said to them, you shall love the Lord your God with all your heart, with all your soul, and with all your mind. This is the great and foremost commandment. If we love God with all our heart, all our mind, and all our soul, we'll reach into our pockets. We'll search our heart. And we'll give back to God. Whether it's money, whether it's time, we will give back. As we give of our money, our time, our talents, let's be careful that we are gracious givers, motivated by the grace of God in our lives. So that however we give, we might be able to say, as did the Apostle Paul, by the grace of God, I am what I am. And His grace toward me was not in vain, but I labored more abundantly than they all. Yet not I, but the grace of God, which was with me. And that's 1 Corinthians 15:10. As I said before, I'm not asking you to give everything back that God has given. But you need to inspect. You need to search your heart. Be cheerful about what you're giving. Because after all, God gave all that He had to us. Not just us in this building, but everybody that walks this planet. He gave His Son for all. His love. If I stepped on toes or stomped on toes, pull them out from under the feet, step back. Take a look and ask, why did that hurt? I do it with people that are men that are up here speaking sometimes. And it's like, ouch, that kind of hurt. Step back and examine why that hurt. Correct it, fix it, do what you need to do. But make yourself right. Make yourself right with God. Because He loves us. Loves every single one of us. This morning's lesson was a lesson intended to kind of give a financial status of this congregation, kind of some information out there, but also I wanted to encourage you, I wanted to uplift you, I want you to think about where you are in your spiritual walk with God. After all, Jesus said, follow me. We need to follow His example. Jesus gave all that He had. Wasn't a lot monetarily, but it was a lot in effort, a lot in His time. If you have any needs of the congregation, any prayer requests, any petitions, if you wish to accept Jesus as your Lord and Savior, we offer this time now, together as we sing,